Hey friends, welcome to another episode of The 12 Apostles. I'm Catherine, your host of Unpolished But Cult. And today we're going to be talking about James, son of Alphaeus. Is one of those names we tend to skim past without meaning to. He's listed among the apostles, faithfully present, quietly included, and then nothing. No speeches recorded, no defining moments retold. No personality sketches preserved in scripture, and yet he was chosen, called, commissioned, sent, which raises a question that lingers longer than his silence. What if knowing almost nothing about James is the point? So today we're talking about the apostle who lived almost entirely off stage, the one who didn't leave us words but left us a pattern. And in a world obsessed with visibility, his story might be one of the most challenging of all. James lived in the kind of obscurity most of us are taught to avoid. Even among the apostles, he existed in the background. He wasn't part of the inner three. He didn't ask memorable questions. He didn't argue, preach, or perform miracles that earned him a spotlight. Scripture records his name and then just moves on. And yet, Jesus called him anyways. And that alone should stop us. Jesus didn't accidentally choose James. He didn't add him to the group as an afterthought. He wasn't just filling a quota because he needed 12. He intentionally selected a man whose faith would not be documented through dramatic moments, but through faithful presence. That tells us something important about the kind of people Jesus values. Not everyone is chosen for visibility. Some are chosen for steadiness. James is often called James the Less, not because he mattered less, but likely because he was younger, quieter, or less prominent. The name itself reveals more about human tendency than divine priority. We rank people instinctively. We notice the loud ones. We remember the expressive ones. We preserve the stories that feel compelling. James reminds us that the kingdom of God does not operate on our memory system. While Jesus was alive, James walked the same dusty roads as the others. He heard the same teachings. He witnessed the same miracles. He experienced the same call to leave his old life behind. And yet, he didn't respond by stepping forward into recognition. He followed without narrating his faith. He stayed without demanding explanation. He learned without leaving a record of his learning. That kind of discipleship is profoundly countercultural then and now. James would have known what it meant to be overlooked. Even within the group, there were stronger personalities, louder voices, more dominant presences. It takes a particular kind of humility to remain fully committed in a space where you're rarely noticed. Not passive humility. Active humility, the kind that chooses faithfulness even when no one is applauding. We often assume that obscurity means disengagement, but James proves otherwise. He didn't disengage. He didn't drift. He didn't quietly opt out because his role felt small. He stayed. That alone tells us that his faith wasn't fueled by recognition. It was fueled by devotion. Think about the daily rhythm of life with Jesus. Meals shared, long walks, teachings that unfolded slowly, moments of confusion, wonder, exhaustion. James was there for all of it. Not contributing commentary for future readers, not positioning himself for influence, just simply present, absorbing the truth, letting it shape him quietly. That kind of formation often goes unnoticed until it's tested. James's importance lies not in what he said, but in the fact that Jesus trusted him to be part of the foundation of the church. The apostles weren't chosen only to teach. They were chosen to be, to model what it looks like to walk with Jesus day after day without spectacle. James shows us that discipleship doesn't require a personality suited for leadership platforms. It requires a heart willing to stay close. And this is where we relate to him most deeply. Most believers will never be remembered for something dramatic. We won't preach sermons that ripple through history. We won't write letters preserved for centuries. We won't have moments retold again and again. We will simply live our faith quietly, steadily, imperfectly, in homes, workplaces, relationships, and communities that rarely feel significant. James tells us that this kind of faith still matters deeply to Jesus. James didn't need to stand out to belong. He didn't need to distinguish himself to be chosen. He didn't need to be exceptional in the ways we usually define exceptionality. He just needed to follow. And he did. There's something quietly freeing about that. James invites us to release the pressure to prove our faith through visibility. He reminds us that Jesus sees what no one else is tracking, that the kingdom grows not only through proclamation, but through presence, that obedience lived quietly still shapes eternity. If James had doubts, Scripture doesn't record them. If he struggled, it doesn't document the process. That doesn't mean those things didn't exist. It means they weren't the point. His faith didn't need a platform to be legitimate. It was lived, not narrated. And maybe that's why Jesus chose him. James's life during Jesus' ministry tells us that being known by God is not the same thing as being known by people. He shows us that some callings are intentionally hidden, not because they are small, but because they are foundational. Hidden things hold structures together. That was James's role. Quiet, faithful, essential. And then Jesus died. After the crucifixion, the disciples were forced to live out what had been forming quietly inside them all along. For someone like James, whose faith had never depended on attention or affirmation, the loss of Jesus would have been devastating, but not destabilizing. His discipleship had been rooted in presence, not performance, in devotion, not recognition. And that kind of faith often survives grief differently. When the resurrection occurred, James didn't suddenly step forward into prominence. He didn't reinvent himself as a leader with a dramatic testimony. He continued as he had always lived, faithfully, steadily, without drawing attention to himself. And when the apostles were sent out, James went with them. So tradition tells us very little about where James traveled or how he ministered, which is strangely fitting. His life remained consistent to the end. He served without leaving a trail of stories behind him. Yet early Christian tradition holds that he preached the gospel faithfully until and ultimately died as a martyr, stoned for his allegiance to Christ. And that detail matters, that we can't forget. A man who lived quietly died courageously. A man who never sought recognition did not retreat when faith became costly. James's obscurity did not indicate weakness. It concealed strength. Strength that only became visible under pressure. And that's where his legacy becomes profoundly relevant to us. James teaches us that faithfulness doesn't need to be documented to be real. that obedience doesn't require witnesses to matter, that God's work is often carried forward by people history barely remembers. The church was not built only by loud voices and recorded sermons. It was built by steady lives that didn't quit when things grew dangerous. James shows us that James shows us that anonymity is not a spiritual failure. It can be a calling, a holy one. We live in a culture that equates impact with visibility. James dismantles that assumption quietly but completely. His life tells us that you can be essential without being celebrated, that you can be chosen without being recognized, that you can live a life fully surrendered to Jesus and leave almost no trace, except in eternity. And maybe that's the lesson he leaves us with. We don't follow Jesus to be remembered. We follow him because he is worth following. And James understood that. He didn't need his story told. He needed his life to be faithful. James, son of Alphaeus, reminds us that the kingdom of God isn't built on platforms. It's built on people who stay, who follow quietly, who don't need recognition to remain obedient. His life reassures those of us who feel unseen that we are not unnoticed. So thank you for spending this time with me today. If this episode encouraged you, made you feel maybe just a little less invisible, or reminded you that your quiet faith still matters, I'm grateful you were here. Make sure you follow on Facebook or subscribe to this podcast or wherever you're listening today so you don't miss the next episode of the series. And you can listen to this episode and find more resources and books on my website, katherineschaefer.com. This podcast will always remain free. And if you're ever led to support in any way possible, any way you feel, you can do so on the website as well. Until next time, keep walking. Even unseen, faith leaves eternal footprints.